Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
We're here to tell you that November 19th is filled with football history as we look at the football history headlines and discuss a 71-point game by one remarkable player and talking about the miracle of the Meadowlands and remembering that great play, as well as some great CFL Grey Cups and a lone Hall of Fame birthday coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, as we are going through our day-by-day history of football. Every day of the year, 365, 366 in leap year, we have football every day. So let's go to this November 19th football history headlines, and we'll start off in the year 1892, when Yale versus Harvard game at the Boston area school. The V formation of Princeton was modified by Harvard's coach, Loren F. Deland. Deland had devised what would forever be known as the flying wedge, where he said his players formed two smaller Vs made up of five players each and a runner who would signal the formations together into a single unit and then get lost in the humanity. Yale was ready for the challenge, though, as Walter Camp received some intel on the formation and devised the way to stop it. Yale did, as they won a tightly fought contest with Harvard 6-0. The 1892 Yale Bulldogs football team compiled a perfect 13-0 record, outscored opponents by a score of 429-0, and has been recognized as a national champion by the Billingsley Report, Helms Athletic Foundation, Holgate System, the National Championship Foundation, and Park H. Davis, according to Wikipedia. November 19th, 1910, at Cartier Field in South Bend, Indiana, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish hit a milestone as they reached win number 100 against Ohio Northern in a 47-0 blowout. We got this information from IrishLegends.com. Well, on November 19th, 1932, in Charleston, West Virginia, according to a newspaper clipping found on the Ohio State University archives from a paper called The Lantern, a West Liberty State Teachers College football player named Joe Kershala scored 71 points in a college football game against Cedarville College. Kershala evidently scored 11 touchdowns in the contest and then had five extra point kicks that went right through the uprights, as well as to get into a miraculous 71 points. Well, on November 19th, 1955, it was the Hawkeyes thinking upset. In South Bend, Indiana, the Iowa Hawkeyes gave Notre Dame fits all day, but with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left to play, Paul Hornig booted a 28-yard field goal for the Irish that broke the tie and provided the lead that the Golden Domers would hang on to in a 17-14 Fighting Irish win. Now we're going to go to November 19th, 1966. A number one versus number two is one of the games of the century. There's probably about six of those during the 20th century, and this is one of them in 66. Spartan Stadium, Michigan State University. This game is one of a handful dubbed as a game of the century, and it was the number two in the nation, Michigan State Spartans, hosting the top-ranked team in the rankings, Notre Dame, according to the American Football Database's article. The Spartans jumped out to a fast start, as well as they hit hard, and the Irish starting quarterback Terry Hanratty exited the game early, as well as their top rusher Nick Eddy, who injured his shoulder. Then the center George Godecki wrenched his ankle and he was hobbled. Michigan State jumped out to a 7-0 lead behind a 5-yard touchdown run by Regis Cavender early in the second quarter. Later in the half, MSU added a field goal to go up 10-0. Well, things looked bleak for the Irish, but they responded promptly when quarterback Coley O'Brien launched a scoring strike to halfback Bob Gladio just over the fingertips of the MSU defender to make the score 10-7 at the half. The scoring was silent until Notre Dame kicker Joe Azzaro knocked through a tying field goal with just barely through in the fourth quarter. Defenses on both teams stood tall, and the Irish missed a 41-yard field goal attempt, and this game of the century ended in a 10-all tie. Now we go to one of the most famous games in NFL history. Famous endings, anyway. November 19th, 1978. Giants Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Giants had the ball and were up with just over a half of a minute left to play. It would just take one kneel down by quarterback Joe Prusacik, and the Eagles would be toast. ESPN.com's story tells us the Giants coaches figured they had a safer play as they would let Prusacik take the snap and give the handoff to legendary back Larry Zonka. What could go wrong? Well, just about everything. As Prusacik doesn't handle the snap cleanly, and he doesn't have control, he turns to hand the ball off, but it never made it to Zonka. But it did bounce off the Giants Stadium turf, and then landed in the Eagles cornerback's hands, Herm Edwards, and Herm took off and returned the fumble for a touchdown with 31 seconds left to give Philadelphia a 19-17 victory over the rival New York Giants. I think the most common phrase at the water cooler in NYC the next day were, "He should have took the knee." Well, we go to the Grey Cup now, north of the border, the 83rd Grey Cup, and we had America winning it. How can America win in the CFL? Well, listen to this. November 19th, 1995, at Taylor Field in Regina, Saskatchewan, the year the American team took home the Grey Cup. What? That's right. An American team won the Canadian Football League's Grey Cup, and in fact, that's true. The 83rd edition of the Grey Cup for the CFL Championship was crowned and was played between the Baltimore Stallions and the Calgary Stampeders. The Stallions won the game by a score of 37-20, and it marked the only time that an American-based team won the Grey Cup. It was only the second season for the Baltimore club, and despite that, the Stallions were not going to go for a repeat as the franchise ended up being dissolved and then added to make the reincarnated Montreal franchise. And it had a closed shop in 1986 to go under the old Alouettes moniker. Due to Baltimore getting the NFL's old Cleveland franchise, which became the Ravens, according to the website Scorem.com. And Baltimore got on the board first in this Grey Cup game with a Chris Wright 82-yard punt return for a touchdown. The Stampeders closed the gap to just within 1 point at the end of the first quarter with a couple of field goals by Mark McLaughlin. Calgary quarterback Doug Flutie put the Stampeders up when he threw a touchdown pass to Marvin Pope in the second stanza. The Stallions then bolted out to a 23-13 halftime score on a scoop and score and three field goals. The Stallions never looked back as Tracy Ham used his feet and arms to keep putting points on the board for Baltimore, and the Stallions quarterback Tracy Ham won the game's MVP award. Now we go to November 9th, 2005, the 70th running of the Iron Bowl, Jordan O'Hare Stadium, Auburn, Alabama. And it was played between the Auburn Tigers and the host, Alabama Crimson Tide. Both teams entered the fray with one loss, and attributed to both teams losing to LSU earlier in the season. Warbloggle.com captured the action and told us that at the end of the first quarter, it was 21-0, and the Tigers seemed to be on a track for a blowout as they scored on their first three possessions. Auburn's Ben Obomnu accounted for two of the scores as he caught one and took another on the ground. And the Kenny Irons rushed for one more. The Tide finally got on the board on the second quarter fumble recovery, but the Tigers responded with a Brandon Cox touchdown pass to Cole Bennett later in the second quarter to make the halftime score 28-7. The second half was fairly quiet as Alabama added a field goal and a TD with a two-point conversion as the Auburn Tigers held on for the 28-18 victory in the 70th Iron Bowl. Let's go back up to Canada now, November 19, 2006, the Canadiens Stadium in Winnipeg. The coveted Grey Cup's 94th chapter was played as the Montreal Alouettes took on the BC Lions. CBC Sports website fills us in with all the action. Paul McCallum erased 2 long years of bad football memories as the BC Lions kicker nailed all 6 of his field goal attempts in the biggest CFL game of the year. The feat was only done 3 other times in history of the Grey Cup. The Lions quarterback, Dave Dickinson, was able to move the ball against Montreal's defense, but the Alouettes would allow them to cross the goal line just once in the contest. But it was up to the BC defense that really held the score down when they helped the Lions win their 5th championship as they defeated the Montreal Alouettes 25-14. In all the post-game excitement, the Lions player even broke the cup portion of the Grey Cup right off its base. And Dickinson went on to win the game's MVP nod, while McCallum was the most valuable Canadian in the game. November 19, 2011, Notre Dame Stadium, South Bend, Indiana. It was the 21st meeting of the 2 largest U.S. Catholic universities in America, and they often referred to as the College Holy War. ESPN.com has a great recap on the game where they inform us that the Irish kicker David Roofer banged home 3 field goals to go along with Jonas Gray's rushing touchdown to power Notre Dame to a 16-14 victory over Boston College. And perhaps maybe one of the greatest NFL games ever took place on November 19th, 2018 at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. We could have watched the greatest game of NFL in 2018, and some people have called that Monday night game that had the 2 young up-and-coming quarterbacks facing off against each other just when the LA Rams' Jared Goff played opposite of Patrick Mahomes and the KC Chiefs. What was witnessed was the 3rd highest scoring game in NFL history, and it also was the first time that an opposing teams each scored 50 points in the same game. According to CBSSports.com, second-year player Patrick Mahomes tossed for 478 yards and 6 touchdowns for Kansas City, which most ever in history of Monday Night Football. And Goff was no slouch in the contest as he threw for 413 yards and 4 scoring strikes, including a 40-yard touchdown pass to Gerald Everett for the go-ahead score with 1:49 left to play. Other numbers from that stat sheet of the game were that there were 14 touchdowns, including 3 by defensive players, and there were 56 first downs in the game. A track meet ended with the Rams outlasting the Kansas City Chiefs 54-51. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthday singular for November 19th, and that's Ahmad Rashad, November 19th, 1949, Portland, Oregon. He was an Oregon's amazing wide receiver slash running back. Yeah, Ahmad Rashad was a running back in college. Yes, you saw correctly. The running back was titled, and according to footballfoundation.org, during Ahmad's very first game, he turned in a 3-touchdown performance. The coaches wanted to get Rashad as many touches as possible, so in order to accomplish this, they moved the young man to the backfield the following year, and he led the team in rushing. Just because he lined up in the backfield and toted the ball through holes in the line did not restrict him from catching passes downfield. The offensive coordinator was more than happy to call plays for Ahmad to use his receiving skills too. After all, the quarterback of the Ducks at that time was none other than a man named Dan Fouts. During his senior season, the rushing totals ranked 8th nationally and Rashad became the first team All-American. The National Football Foundation selected Ahmad Rashad to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2007. Boy, I told you that is quite a bit of great events that happened in football history on November 19th. We're glad you joined us today. I hope you'll check us out at sportshistorynetwork.com, where we are in our 24 other partners there on sportshistorynetwork.com, bring you sports history every day. A lot of great different sports, a very big variety, some great guests and great hosts on those programs. You can also go to our website, pigskindispatch.com, where we have some great articles every day, 2 or 3 of them coming out every single day, along with these accompanying podcasts, and you can find our whole podcast collection there and on Sports History Network or your favorite podcast provider. If we'd like to get your feedback, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.